Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
My question to you, Seth C. Payne, before we get to the power ranking of the power rankings, would you pay $35.89 for the following drink? The Astros, this is according to Chandler Rome, tweeted this last night. The Astros are selling an electric Haderade drink, H-A-D-E-R, yeah. So in honor of Josh Hader, during the wild card series, which contains lemonade, blue, is it Curacao? How do we pronounce that? Hey, Ben, you drink all the time. Is it C-U-R-A-C-A-O?
Curacao.
Curacao, okay.
And I've never known how to pronounce it.
I've never seen Ben have a drink ever in his hand.
I see
just
it on
clear.
The fancy drink menu all the time at restaurants, and I've never actually said it or remembered hearing
it. Kind of rolls off the tongue. Yeah. Curacao, yeah. Lemonade, blue Curacao, tequila, Sprite, a tagine rim, cherry, and lime garnish.
I guess I'd have to know how juiced up is that thing for $38.
That's very fruity.
Going to be like, man, a Long Island iced tea where there's like five drinks in one there or not?
That's too much fruit for me, man.
Yeah, that's not my thing. But
For $35.89, it's definitely not my thing.
Isn't there they've got a special bottle for it though too, right?
It better come with a, yes, dude.
But it's not going to be a glass bottle probably, right? It could be. Yeah. So if it's a nice big glass fancy drink, then maybe
if
that's
it comes
worth it.
If it comes with a souvenir container,
commemorative wild card round container, that's what does it for me.
Okay.
I'm basically paying $35 for the container and $3 for the drink.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. All right, so power ranking of the power rankings. Let's do this. And has NFL.com put up their power rank? NFL.com's website is the worst website. It just loads so poorly, and their power rankings aren't up yet. So we'll just go with four sets of them.
Your loss, NFL.com.
Your loss. I got to find a fifth set of power rankings to
replace.
You just
got somebody laid off at NFL.com.
Well,
they do about one per day.
Be better about, yeah, I know.
You know?
You can join the club.
Hey, there's a sports radio host complaining about the website not being up.
You're fired.
Who should we fire? Fire the only guy that we have left in charge of that very thing. We'll never put it up again.
Oh, man. All right, here we go. So I've got four sets of power rankings, and at 9 o'clock on Tuesday, we power rank these specific outlets based on how they've treated our Houston Texans. So, number four on the list, SI.com.
I'm guessing they've got the Texans at 13.
They have the Texans at 10th.
Okay.
So the lowest there, they're in the top 10 of the four major power rankings that we use. Connor Orr, SI.com.
Actual human being, not AI.
Down, interesting thing, down two from last week. Mm-hmm. So the Jacksonville win did not impress Connor Orr.
Well, the big thing that, when you look at the standings, the thing that jumps out at you is like, oh, okay, the Texans are minus 15 in scoring differential.
Yeah.
You know, usually you like to see a team that's got a winning record, but also has scored more points than their opponent. And the right
aggregate.
Now, the Texans have played three games down to the wire that didn't seem like they should have been theoretically down to the wire, and then you got blown out once. So
Yep. That's
about what it feels. It's where they are right now.
Here's what he says. The most encouraging part of this Texans win may have been the nature of the slog. At almost no point did this game look beautiful. Stephon Diggs had to take a very cool throwback that we actually saw Jared Goff score on Monday by himself. even on the final touchdown play that won the game for the Texans, was an all-out commitment from everyone on that offense to sell the Jags on a run play to the opposite side.
Yeah.
Which I, okay.
That's,
is that
yeah,
a mark
that's kind
against,
of a weird, it was
is that a
well
mark, is that a mark against them?
It's a well-executed sprint out, or yeah. Boot, like, yeah, okay.
This is they why you're...
They had to resort to a play-action pass on the goal line. Oh,
that
gosh,
worked.
Yeah. Nobody ever wants that. And what the hell are you talking about?
Wide-open Daria Gavalale. Like, what the hell? That's why you're last place, Connor, or you're fourth.
You know what I think it was, is that I guess maybe in his mind, it's if it's a game winner, it should be a fade to Nico or something.
Oh,
or
something a little more romantic.
Or yeah, something that looks a little bit more electric.
Yeah,
yeah, no, that is a weird little jab to throw in there.
Yeah, yeah. Even their final play that scored the winning touchdown. Like, who the hell cares how they scored the winning touchdown? All right, so they're fourth out of four. SI.com. Number three, ESPN.com. They have the Texans holding steady right now in their eyes at eighth. So the Texans are eighth in the eyes of ESPN.com. Their category this week, Seth, that they opine on in these for each team, biggest issue on defense. Before I tell you what it is that DJ Bienemé chose for this, ESPN beat writer, what would you say is the biggest issue on defense?
Oh, I think there's two things. One is that I need to see a more menacing pass rush, but that's, I think, what's keeping them from being a really, really good defense. So the sum total of it would be the thing that I can see really starting to hurt him versus good teams is the run defense. It's
run
shown
defense.
More and more chinks in the armor.
Okay.
So I think DJ said run defense.
He said safeties in coverage.
Oh, yes. Dang it. That's
safeties
a better answer.
Coverage.
That's a much better answer.
Sorry. Seth has to get a buzz on that, Ben. Sorry about that.
All right. Yeah. Now, no, not yet, though. Because did DJ mention Jalen Petrie as a safety or as a cornerback?
Let me read to you what he said. Houston safeties are getting picked on. Come on. ESPN.com's website. You're horrible. Houston safeties are getting picked on by opposing offenses. The Texans run cover four on 34% of first and second downs. So teams run play action to make the safeties cover vertical routes, which is part of why the Texans have allowed the second most yards off play action on early downs. Also, foes are putting their better wide receivers in the slot to match them up against those safeties.
Jalen Petrie.
Mention him by name.
Yeah. He's not a safety. Everybody is telling me he's a slot corner. And I'm looking around like, no, the hell he is not. And I didn't think the Texans would use him in the slot as much as they have. But oh, yes, the hell they have. And it's not. He's not a slot corner.
Yeah.
He's a nickel linebacker. So, right. I think by virtue of DJ including him in the safety group, but not by name, just shows you the issue you have there. Is that Jalen Petrie, when he's in the slot, is playing a lot more like a linebacker slash safety and not a cornerback.
Yep. Good enough for third on the power ranking of the Power Rankings ESPN. All right, we're getting to it. Number two, power rank the power rankings. Number two, theathletic.com has the Texans seventh. But similar to SI.com, they bumped them down two spots from last week. The Athletic had them fifth last week. This Jacksonville win has not impressed some of the people out on these here streets.
No. And this is, we've noticed this just even leading up to last week. If there's one thing that happens when the Texans play the Jaguars, nobody really notices much at all or talks about it or anything. I mean, it's just dead out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
There was just no luster to this. I mean, imagine that. That's Trevor Lawrence versus C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
And if anything, I think it's almost an emotional vote against the Texans. Like, come on, entertain me. Titillate me.
I know.
Give me what I promised in the preseason prediction.
Putting a 20 in your G-string right now, and you're doing nothing.
All these writers and everybody, myself included, all these people that gushed over the potential of this offense, right now, they're feeling a little bit put out. Like, hey, wait a second. Where are my fireworks, Daddy?
Yep.
I was promised fireworks.
Yes. I want an Oompa Loompa now.
Yes.
It was funny. If you go back and look at the articles from Week 12 last year when Trevor Lawrence came in here and threw for 360, and the Jags beat the Texans in a game that if the Texans had won, they'd have been in first place in the AFC South. Mm-hmm. The Jags won, so they were in first place. The articles that day, like the Mike Sandos and the Peter Kings of the world, were all about, like, this is the rivalry that's going to carry the AFC South to glory for the next decade.
Yeah, and the Jaguars are going to be the
Lawrence.
Yes, and you know, the Jaguars were at all but shoo-ins. At one point, the odds were so heavily in favor 98%. Of them winning the division.
Yeah.
And it's just been nothing but downhill since then.
Like, literally. It's been
since that victory.
Yes. Yeah. Here's what The Athletic says about the
Except
Texans.
Except the Texans aren't making it as, like, an extreme difference. It should be at this point. It should be, wow, look at that. Texans are firing on all
They're
cylinders, and
racing.
The Jaguars are down at the bottom of the heap.
No, we're losing ground in the power rankings after a win. This is what The Athletic said, by the way, about the Texans. The Texans did okay in the 2024 draft, considering they didn't have a first-round pick. This must be the topic they're doing, like, how are the rookies?
Yeah.
Their top four picks are pitching in, starting with second-round cornerback Kamari Lassiter, who is starting, tied for the team lead in tackles on Sunday with six. Ooh. The real story against the Jags, though, was Nico Collins, the 2021 third-round pick who had 151 receiving yards Sunday and leads the NFL. Leads the NFL with 489 this season. This is me talking now, not this article. He's 100 yards ahead of the next closest guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Nico's having an insane year so far, statistically.
Where's Tyreek Hill?
Dude.
He looked frustrated last night.
There, yeah. He's going to be frustrated all year long.
Mm-hmm.
Is there talk of them sending him back to
Florio
Kansas
tried to
City?
Push it this morning.
Oh, is that? Okay.
It said, it's easy. It was one of those things where it almost feels like he's trying to report it like it's an active rumor out there where he's the one creating the actual rumor.
Good job,
he's
Florio. Saying,
it's easy to connect the dots between Tyreek Hill and the Kansas City Chiefs. That's easy.
Yeah.
It's one of the most obvious things in the world. He did that with Sean Payton and the Cowboys forever. Remember?
Oh, yeah,
it's like
yeah,
10
yeah.
straight years
yeah,
he yeah. was trying to push that.
Yep.
So I would be really surprised if that happened.
Why would two? I mean, he just signed a big contract extension with the Dolphins. I'm sure there's cap
ramifications. It would be really, really hard to do it, get complicated. And like, I'm not saying Kansas City wouldn't do it under the right circumstances, but these aren't the right circumstances, I don't think so either.
All right, last one. Number one, power ranking of the power rankings. How about our guy Pete Prisco, who I believe makes Jacksonville home, right?
He lives in Jacksonville. He and Vaselli do a show together.
CBSSports.com, Pete Prisco. He has the Texans all the way up at number three.
Oh, my gosh.
Number three, behind only the Chiefs and the Vikings.
Okay. What's he say?
He says this. They didn't play great against the Jags, but they found a way. They have to start scoring touchdowns. The offensive line is a problem.
Yeah, the offensive line is a problem. Damn. I agree with everything he said, but I don't see where that puts them up at number three right now. If I were D'Amico and I read that, I'd be like, oh, come on, Pete. Are you serious? I'm trying to tell these guys that they need to be better, even though they got a 3-1 record, and now you're putting us second overall or third overall?
Yeah.
No,
he's got the Buccaneers fourth.
He's got the Texans above the Ravens?
Yeah, he's got the Ravens sixth.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got the Ravens sixth. He's got the Lions fifth.
This is an engagement
Buccaneers
special
fourth.
Here.
You think?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, the Buccaneers, I will say this, because the Buccaneers are a part of this message as well, that everybody that was freaking out that they lost to the Vikings 34-7, are they still a Super Bowl contender? Are they this? Are they still that? It's one game. The Lions, if they had a real field goal kicker, would have been in the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
They lost 38-6 midway through the season in a game last season.
Well, the whole thing about the Bills right now is if you look at when you jump to conclusions too early, they played very, very impressively in their second and third games, especially versus the Dolphins and the Jaguars.
Yes.
So they looked way better than the Texans have at any point. They certainly looked way better against the Jaguars as that. But in terms of them being, an unstoppable force, and wow, Josh Allen has become, look at what Josh Allen has transformed into and all of that, I think perhaps people got a little ahead of themselves in that regard. Mm-hmm. So Buffalo, even though one game doesn't matter, I think it was a good reminder that we jumped to a lot of conclusions early on. And big bad Buffalo doesn't look quite as scary as they did before. And like any other team in the league, they've got their flaws.
Yep.
But they full credit that they beat the snot out of the Jaguars, where the Texans had to take it down to the wire.
Yep, for sure. For sure. Man, it's going to be a fun week, man. Buffalo coming to town on Sunday. Are we going to get Diggs? Is there going to be a Diggs media availability?
There will be a Diggs availability at least once. Everybody has to speak at least once.
Okay.
I'm gonna guess. Okay, this isn't the question. The question is not, will Diggs say something, to insult the Bills or something? Because he won't.
He's had that chance already.
The question is, will he say anything that can be taken out of context and then people run with it?
Especially about Josh Allen.
Yes.
Who he himself said some things that he claims were taken out of context.
Whenever Josh said something nice about his own team, this is what happens in these situations. You say something nice about your own team, and people immediately interpret it as like, oh, yep, throwing shade at the old guy.
That's right.
So I think Stephon Diggs, he's going to say something nice about CJ Stroud. And that's what's going to get interpreted and put out irresponsibly by like one of those aggregator accounts as Stefon Diggs talking smack.
For sure, for sure. We asked the question earlier in the show back in the 8 o'clock hour about do you feel like the Stefon Diggs trade thus far is worth it? Text message, a lot of people answering on this. The only thing I've seen as a negative with the Diggs trade is just getting him integrated into the offense as a whole. However, aside from Nico, it's looked like that across the board. Is that because they're trying to incorporate Diggs, or just getting up to speed in the regular season is tough to do?
I think the what was the second question?
The second part of the question. Yeah, they said aside from Nico, it's looked like it's been tough integrating everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that because you're trying to? Is that because of trying to integrate Diggs?
No,
into things?
No. I think that they're it's. No, I don't think they're trying to force it to Diggs whatsoever. I don't think they're just scheming or game planning to try to, other than they do for any other wide receiver. It's that when teams are going to play a lot of cover two shell, it's funny right now that for anybody of a certain age, people are acting like the cover two is just invented this year or something. Like this hasn't been a thing for the last 50 years of football. Like, it's not like there were never any good wide receivers back when teams played a lot of cover two.
Right.
But there are some things where, man, going back to having a big body guy with just good vertical speed that's got great run after the catch, it's back to basics in some regards, and Nico is more that guy. The era of the hyper-tiny dude that can exploit man coverage and everything like that, that might be, the pendulum might be swinging back the other way.
Yep.
And I think Nico is a cover two beater. Like, there's certain routes and things you can try, etc. Well, you got to take the easy stuff underneath. But then there's also guys like Nico. So, I think that's as simple as that. That Diggs has produced. You know, Diggs has come up in some clutch moments. Some of them, was one of them erased by penalty 2 weeks ago?
Did he catch one of those? No, that was Hutchinson and Tank Dell.
So to make a point, there were times on that final drive and in that game in the second half where it was the gravitational pull of Stefon Diggs when the Bills were in zone that got other guys open.
Absolutely.
You know, on Ogunbowale, when he caught that check down there out in the flats, it looked like they were playing cover four and the cornerback was just kind of shaded and creeping towards Diggs more so than he might otherwise. So there's I'm totally cool with it right now.
Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Monday Night Football last night, at least one of the games contributed to a trend that I don't know is best for the Texans in the AFC South. We will discuss that coming up.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you. Monday Night Football last night, and it's kind of strange, man. Like, Monday Night Football, I didn't know that the Titans-Dolphins game would necessarily move me one way or the other, and certainly the Lions and Seahawks was an exciting game to watch. Yeah. A lot of offensive fireworks in that game. But the dynamic going on right now with what we're supposed to be the other two young quarterbacks in C.J. Stroud's draft class that were supposed to get us all excited about the next 10 years in this division, predictably, neither the other two see Anthony Richardson and Will Levis can stay on the field.
Right.
Anthony Richardson knocked out of his game on Sunday. In comes Joe Flacco, and he was doing Flacco things like he was the Cleveland Browns quarterback again. And I mean that in a good way, not the playoff Flacco. I'm talking about regular season Flacco that had five games where he was averaging over 300 yards, and he won comeback player of the year. Similarly, with Tennessee last night in Miami. Now, that is a bad Miami team right now with no quarterback play. The offense can't do anything to take pressure off of the defense.
Yeah.
That said, Will Levis goes out of the game, and Mason Rudolph just game manages the hell out of that thing.
Yeah.
No mistakes.
Right.
Run the football.
It made sense in theory to have the Dolphins versus the Titans with Tua Tagovailoa, and then, what is Will Levis going to be? I saw a good tweet this morning that said basically, Will Levis was never actually good in college. He's never actually been good in the NFL, and he never actually had the potential that people claimed that he had. It just
other than that,
it's he just hasn't lived up to a lot. That he never actually genuinely had any great potential. I feel like he had a promising year at Penn State before he transferred, but it wasn't like who was the guy that had the rookie with Bill O'Brien had the good year as a rookie freshman quarterback at
Christian
Penn State.
Christian Hackenberg. Yeah.
People would talk like Christian Hackenberg had been one of the best quarterbacks in college football his freshman year. No, he had a promising year.
Right.
And that somehow that sustained him on through not doing anything after that into people thinking that
he was
actually going to be a good quarterback in the NFL. Will Levis. Yeah, I'm at the point now with Will Levis where I feel like, all right, I think I might be more scared of Mason Rudolph just because Mason Rudolph's not going to make the same mistakes that Will Levis does.
And that's my question to you is if Richardson, because I don't know how hurt Richardson is, if he's going to miss a game this week. I just know he's going to get hurt again because he always gets hurt. And Will Levis, same thing. I think Anthony Richardson is just injury prone. I think Will Levis is legitimately stupid when it comes to how he handles his body in NFL games. As a Texan fan, do you view the Titans and the Colts as bigger threats with these veteran backup quarterbacks than with the injury-prone starting quarterback, or the rookie quarterback, or second-year quarterback?
I look at the Titans, yes, as a bigger threat because they made so many mistakes and that Will Levis really doesn't have the ability to do the upside stuff that Anthony Richardson does.
Yeah.
So I think with Mason Rudolph, especially with, look, they're very Kubiak-like, running the ball and trying to stay like taking an old school mentality to controlling the game. That could be really good with a guy like Mason Rudolph in there. If they can get their run game going, and it looks like the offensive line is starting to look more like a Bill Callahan coached offensive line, then they'll get easy opportunities for Mason Rudolph downfield. And I think he'll be smarter about taking advantage of. So yeah, I think they're probably a better team with Mason Rudolph throughout the season, because I don't think Will Levis is a good NFL player.
Yeah, I don't think that's the thing.
I don't think Mason Rudolph is awesome, but I think Will Levis is just not even going to be a backup.
He's legitimately bad, and he's the worst kind of bad. He's the bad that makes back-breaking plays that kill your team. Like, literally add points to the scoreboard for the other team.
And Anthony Richardson remains what I've always thought he was, which is I don't think he's, unless he makes the Josh Allen transformation, he's just not nearly consistent enough. Not to mention, he's injury prone. He's not consistent enough to actually lead to a really good season. But on any given Sunday, he can destroy you. Just because with his legs and his arm, like, he's got the capability of making some of these big back-breaking throws. So I think I'm still more nervous about Anthony Richardson. I think Flacco is a guy that naturally turns into a pumpkin after a few games.
Okay, so let me frame the Colts part of this a different way. Let's pretend that the Texans are playing the Colts in Week 18 like they were last year. For a spot in the playoffs. It's a play-in game, basically. Yeah. Who would you be more nervous about facing, Joe Flacco or Anthony Richardson?
Richardson, because it's boom or bust. Yeah. He might play an eighth of a game and be out with a broken clavicle. He might complete 37% of his passes, yet still have four brilliant touchdown passes.
Yeah.
So I don't like the wild card part of that.
So that's a development from last night, man. Like, all of a sudden, like, okay, now Levis is out and Richardson's out. We got these veteran guys.
They got to quit it with this two Monday night game stuff, though. They just keep adding to it every year. Once on opening week, that's all I
do. Do you not like the having two games that kind of overlap, or would you be cool if they played them back to back?
No, I only want one game.
Stay up
I only want one
anyways.
Game. Yeah, I don't. It just puts. I think you're starting to get to the point where you're asking. a little too much of the fans in terms of, okay, we have a question on the text line.
Yeah.
Which is relevant to this. What was the question?
You want me to read it?
Yes.
I'll read it. Okay, here we go. This is a question. Here it is, 3579. Good morning, gentlemen. The cheapest Texans ticket for this Sunday is going for $142, mm-hmm. while the cheapest Astros playoff ticket, presumably for today, is going for $11.
Right.
Can you please explain?
Yes. Football. It's football. Like, and that's where, again, going back to the number of primetime games on Monday night or anything, there's still, because there's so many fewer games and because the NFL just far outweighs the other sports leagues in popularity right now, that regular season games still get, like, regular, every year there are multiple NFL regular season games that have higher ratings than any World Series games.
Yes.
You know, than anything else. It's always, it's NFL playoff games and then NFL regular season games that are much higher than any of the other sports leagues. So there's that. And then especially this week, Bills fans travel pretty well and are willing to pay
a great
good amount
point.
Of money.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's
like they'll have a whole section of Midtown blocked off or something. It's
Okay, do you think that... That's a,
I know it affected airline prices.
Did it really?
I was looking for a ticket for somebody for this weekend.
Fly down.
That, was like all of a sudden 2 weeks before the game, it spiked out of nowhere.
$800
Like way more than the normal spike. Yeah. I'm like, is this just a holiday? What's going on? Bills game.
Bills game. There's so many things that go into it.
That person is now driving to Cleveland to fly to Houston instead of Buffalo. Yeah.
The easiest answer is it's football. But I think you bake a few other things, like the Astros, maybe they're, I don't want to say playoff fatigue, but maybe we're like a little too taking for granted, kind of, you know, like, oh, I'll wait till the ALDS to go. It's the wild card round. It's also during the workday, whereas the Texans are on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's all those things. But I think you're right. That's a huge gap. At the end of the day, it's football. And there's scarcity with the football as well. You know, there's only, it's 8 home games. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, there's only 8 home games. Do you think that you know a little bit about Bills fans? You grew up around some.
I used to be one.
Yeah.
I had to have tattoos removed.
Yep. it was fairly loud with the Bears fans on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
Do you think that the Bills travel better than the Bears fans
I can't
do?
Remember that playoff game. It seemed like the Bills fans were pretty loud, right?
Yeah, I don't remember.
When the Texans beat the Bills in the playoffs.
Yeah.
There were quite a few. I remember I saw a romance begin and end in the section in front of our Odyssey suite where there was a guy, got a shirtless guy in Bill's overalls.
Okay.
A woman just in a, frankly, an irresponsible halter top.
Okay.
And they were both drunk off their asses.
They met each other?
By about the second quarter, they were making out.
Okay.
And then by the beginning of the fourth quarter, she actually slapped him. And it was, I'd watched it all play out right in front of me, an entire lifetime.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish you'd film that.
But there were a lot of them there. There were a lot of Bills fans.
Yeah.
And they were very quiet at the end of that game.
They were at the end of that game. Do you have an early feel on this game coming up on Sunday? Have you thought about it at all?
Yes. I do think a lot of it for me just centers on Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
I think the offensive line is what it is, and they need to get better, and they've made some improvements in some regards. But you really need Joe Mixon to take advantage of some of the weaknesses and issues for the Bills, which I'd call them issues, but I'm not saying that the Ravens all of a sudden had a blueprint for how to beat the Bills. Lamar Jackson is a different quarterback than C.J. Stroud, but the ability to attack over the middle of the defense with Nico Collins especially is going to be good. The ability to run with Joe Mixon, and it's only with Joe Mixon. Yes, Dare looks great at the end of the game there, but it's Joe Mixon and his ability to threaten and stress a defense that's They're lighter. They're like the Texans. They're playing with lighter guys on the field. That's the opportunity. So I do feel that the Bills are still a very good football team despite the lopsided score in that game.
Yeah.
The Bills were making a nice comeback, and then they botched a gadget play that kind of kept them out of it.
I'm picking the Bills.
Yeah.
I'm picking the Bills in this game.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Just based on the fact they got blown out last week. And,
No. I'd pick the Bills, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Asked, do I feel any better about the chance for the Texans to compete with them, I thought.
Yeah, I was just saying, do you have a feel for the game?
I have a feel that the Texans have more of a fighting chance than it might like feel like at the moment, but they have not operated. And they've all, look, the Bills have put away some bad teams also, but they absolutely 100% put them away. They look like they're operating with more precision, less sloppiness than the Texans
are. So you're on the Bills, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I just think, I think.
Well, you asked me about my feel, but as far as the actual pick, I don't even know what the line is right now.
Yeah, I think it was like Bills -2.5, -3, something
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I would do the Bills. Yeah.
I just can't, like, the Texans, this is four games now where they've played like a C-plus level game with a bleep ton of penalties.
You look unserious.
Yeah, like
You look unserious. Until they show me a reason to feel like they're an actual serious football team, I can't do it.
They're 0-4 against the spread, and I am 0-4 picking them so far this year. I'm done. So prove me wrong. Yeah, I will be rooting for the Texans like nobody's business.
Yeah, and it's not like I'm being overly pessimistic about it or anything. The reality of the situation is the Bills have looked like a much better football team than the Texans have.
Absolutely, they have. Yeah.
And I'm very willing and eager for them to change my opinion of that. But D'Amico or any of the players, CJ himself would tell you, they've just been sloppy.
They have, yeah. They know it.
They've handled their affairs the way Deshaun handles his black book.
That's
it's just sloppy. Sloppy.
That's how they've handled their line play, yes. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you, heading into the final segment here. We're keeping an eye on it, see if we got the playoff roster yet for the Houston Astros. I have, wait. Postseason. Oh no, that's an email for a press conference from the Astros. Never mind.
Geez.
Yeah, well they've got 24 minutes, so we're gonna keep an eye on that. Little love fest going on between the two managers for this series. We'll hear from both of them. Start getting you ready for the Astros in the wild card round. That's coming up.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
You know, actually, I'm looking forward to it. He's a good friend. We have spent a lot of time together. I learned a ton from AJ. But I think this series is about the Astros against the Tigers. So, they're playing really well, really good baseball. So I'm just looking forward to a really good series.
All right, that was Joe Espada talking about his former boss, A.J. Hinch. A.J. Hinch, now the manager of the Detroit Tigers. He did some media yesterday. See, he said he's got the ultimate respect for Joe Espada.
I really do appreciate and respect everything about Joe, from the times, you know, toiling in the minor leagues together to being on the same coaching staff to now watching him, you know, guide his own team. I've really enjoyed watching him sometimes up close, sometimes from afar. And, you know, when I was drawn to him, it was, you know, it's the personality, it's the vibe, it's the intellect, it's the baseball IQ, it's the fearlessness, his consistency, his work ethic. I mean, I could go on and on about his qualities, and that's what's made him a very good, you know, major league manager in short order. I mean, his time that he spent on various coaching staffs under different managers was a time well spent, because he grabbed something a little from everybody, and now he's making it into his own. So he's had an incredible year guiding this team, and it hasn't always been easy. I've stayed in touch with him. We've talked a lot. Not sure how much we'll talk in the next 72 hours, but there will be a moment. Maybe it's exchanging lineup cards. Maybe it's behind the cage. Maybe it's crossing paths at this media stuff, where I'll get a chance to congratulate him in person, because it's fun to see a good person grow in a job that he's really wanted for a long time.
You're right about AJ Hinch, Seth. He's not petty.
Yeah. Which is good. Like, he won't play any psychological games or something. You know,
no.
If this were Greg Williams in this situation, Greg would probably be like trying to figure out ways to poison people's food.
He'd have to get hired by another team first.
Right. Well, he had been since he was he was back in the league.
Oh, that's true.
You know, after his cheating, after his
bounty gate. Yeah.
His gate.
Yeah.
So, I can't dredge up any kind of like personal animosity for AJ Hinch or anything. It doesn't, when I try to put myself in AJ Hinch's shoes, I think there's probably a part of him that feels, you're going to wonder what you could have done differently, even though it felt like you didn't have any control over the clubhouse and everything. He probably feels partly responsible for it, even if he didn't partake in it or endorse it or anything like that. But he also understands that, you know, Jim Crane was kind of in an impossible position himself.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like certainly none of the players on the team. I guess the only thing, I mean, everything's just changed in terms of like people keeping their mouths shut and everything. I guess. Could there ever be any part of them where it's like, I wish that, you know, the players could have just not talked?
Because
they were offered immunity.
They were offered
but there was
immunity.
Always an argument that the baseball probably couldn't have punished the players anyway by the CBA.
Correct.
For all of that. Like, there probably might be a part where you're like, kind of nice if you guys follow the old Umberta rules and just shut up. Don't talk
up to
the feds.
Bregman and Altuve and calls them rats.
Yeah.
Yeah, you ratted me out.
Robbie does that if he wins this series. He's like, I have you finally beat those rat bastards.
Right. The rats. They're all rats. So, yeah, A.J. Hinch and Joe Espada, big respect there.
Espada, going back to the being better than everybody else scandal, Espada had an interesting, because he was with the Yankees in 2017.
Oh, yeah.
And, but also before that, there was some Carlos Beltran crossover there where, mm-hmm. you know, Carlos Beltran, the story was that he told the Astros, you guys aren't stealing signs like the actual pros
yeah,
do it.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, Espada was on a Yankees team that Beltran was also mm-hmm. on. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure this isn't the week that Espada just dishes on everything.
No, probably not. You know what I would be curious to ask A.J. Hinch is, where does this season and getting the Tigers into the postseason, how does that compare to winning a World Series? You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Winning a World Series is the ultimate holy grail, but man, getting this Tigers team into the postseason, they were sellers at the deadline.
They were
this
sellers
year.
At the deadline. I think there's that. It probably feels, I don't know, maybe if pure is the right word, just in terms of the Astros did it the new old-fashioned way, which
yeah.
is they tanked.
Yeah.
You can call it a reset or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Like, they tanked and they tanked hard, where it was more nuanced than that with the Detroit.
Yep. Larry is here. Larry's in Stafford. I saw Larry in Stafford last night. I used the first in Stafford as part of your name there, Larry, but how's it going, man?
Hey, it's going good, man, and there was no way I wasn't going to be over there where you're at in my city, man, experiencing Legacy Cigar Lounge over there, man. It was a fun time last night seeing you and Reggie and a couple of other fellas, Ivan and everybody else, man, so it was fun, man. But real quick on A.J. Hinch. A.J. Hinch and Jeff Ludow should not have to ever buy a beer in the city of Houston ever again, man. There's a lot of people that still truly, truly appreciate and love A.J. Hinch, man, because he got us to the World Series and got us that win, and obviously the second win should have happened if he doesn't do that with Greinke and all that other stuff, but as far as I'm concerned, he'll always be one of the one. He's up there like with Rudy Tomjanovich for me as far as managers and coaches in the H, man, but hey, Seth, this morning you guys were talking about Laremy Tunsil wearing them red-ass gloves, right, when he's
yeah.
on the offensive line. And I went back and I watched that game, man, like you said, that last 2 or 3 minutes, and you can physically see the hole with them red-ass gloves on. I'm starting to believe that y'all might be onto something, man, that you wear gloves the color of the opposite team, man,
yeah.
because it stands out so much, and the refs can actually physically see that contrast when you're holding.
Right.
So that
yeah.
might be there might be something to that, man, because if Laremy can figure out how not to get those penalties, man, I think this offensive line is going to be fine, because we got to always remember, you got to break the season down into quarters, and we just finished the first quarter 3-1, and our next 4 games are 3 against AFC teams with the Bills, Patriots, and Colts, and 1 against the Packers. You have to try to get through these next 4 games with the same kind of record so that it'll set you up for the second half of your season. But I think we're going to be fine, man, once everybody gets healthy and once everybody's actually get on the same page, because I think this game against the Jaguars really, really helped CJ start getting into his rhythm, which is what we've always been wanting to see this season with all those weapons. And as far as the question of if the Stephon Diggs trade or whatever is still a good thing, you damn right it's still a good thing, because Stephon Diggs caused a lot of eyes to go to him, which is opening up a lot of the play that Nico, and I'm not taking nothing away from Nico's skill set, but when you got dudes like Stephon on the field or whatever, they require attention, which makes the game a lot easier for everybody else. We need to get Joe back, and then we can get to play them Bills this week, man, and go and do it up. Son, I saw you take care of that steak last night, man. I might have to venture over there myself again on a Monday night in our hall.
All right, thanks, Larry. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, that steak was good last night out at Legacy. No doubt about that. Reggie had one, too, so he can vouch.
Astros lineup is up.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah, let's give it to the people. Jose Altuve leading off, batting second, but this is the big one. Yordan Alvarez batting second and DH today.
Yes. So Yordan is good to go. Any of this hand-wringing we had over whether or not they had to make a tough decision or not, it seems like he's probably healthy and good to go. He'll be sliding into second, Sean. He'll be sliding into third. He'll be headfirst diving into home, okay?
And I'll be drunk as hell tomorrow. Yeah. Kyle Tucker batting third, playing right field, so they got the two big lefties back-to-back. Bregman's batting cleanup, starting at third base. Yiner Diaz is catching today, batting fifth. Jeremy Pena, shortstop, batting sixth. Victor Caratini is playing first base today and batting seventh. Mauricio Dubon is in left field, batting eighth, and it is a Jake Myers joint in center field today, and he is batting ninth. So the big news there, Yordan Alvarez, healthy enough to play in the AL wildcard round. We'll see. We'll see how he's moving, see how he's hitting. But this is fantastic news for the Astros. Still have not seen the roster yet.
I'm looking at it right now. I'm trying to find it.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I haven't seen it because I'm on the, I mean, we all are on that Astros email. They usually email out the roster. They haven't, at least to me, they haven't emailed it out.
Sorry, I left my underwear up here yesterday.
Were you guys worried that
somebody had like taken off their underwear at the desk and just slapped their dirty underwear up on
it? I mean,
it?
You never know.
I thought they were neatly folded. I thought it was pretty clear that they were. No, they weren't even like my rattiest underwear.
They were folded neatly, but yeah. I don't think any human would want to grab them and move them or see, hey, whose are these? Raise them and put them in the camera.
It's like just being at a laundromat. Sometimes somebody's left their laundry in there. You take it out, and you're like, I don't feel all that great about it. But.
I thought it was a little out of hand when you said you needed tongs.
I did need
them
up.
Yeah, that was messed up, man. People couldn't tell that they weren't actually dirty. That you might.
So I could put a clean pair of my underwear right here on the table between you and Sean, and you'd have no problem just picking them up.
I'd be cool with it, yeah. If I knew they were clean. If I knew they were clean and folded, I'm not picking them up from the crotch region or whatever.
here's the one, issue I had is, like, I just didn't understand in what world and how it came about that someone had their underwear, clean or not, took them out of their workout bag, whatever, and said, you know what? I'm going to set them right here.
You're leaving it's like pens. I lose underwear and pens. I don't know where they go or why I would leave them somewhere.
Me too.
But that's
I'm the same way. Underwear and pens.
It's plausible deniability, John. That's why my wife's never going to be in a position who's like, hey, why were your underwear at my best friend's house? Like, hey, that's just what I do.
I lose
them
all the time.
Yeah, it's crazy. I left my spares there while we were over for coffee. Yeah.
Hell, sometimes when he's wearing them, he loses them.
So where does that stack up on egregious studio sharing violations?
Well, it's never happened before.
Yeah.
I don't think anywhere.
Uncharted territory in this way.
I mean, I don't like getting criticized for it from you, John, because you're not the best with keeping the table clean. You put your feet up on it and everything.
I'm not the worst. That's the standard Lopez has. Yeah. I'm not the worst.
That's another thing I tell Brandy.
This is a clean fishing shirt because this is the first time I've worn it.
Yeah.
Every one of my, as Reggie already knows, my fishing shirts are disastrous.
If you had to choose one item of apparel to find clean on the desk, what would you, if you said, but you didn't know they were clean, would you rather see socks or underwear?
Socks.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's more potential for all kinds of.
Because they would be folded, you know, crisply, and it'd be much more clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, bodily waste isn't typically
in. Right. I mean, you know, like,
you don't have to wash that out of socks. Well, no. I guess some people do.
I carry
feet veer into different areas.
They did an American Pie. I don't know.
Look, this is Houston, Texas. I carry around a spare pair of underwear just in case I'm going to be out away from the house for more than like 8 hours in a day.
Right.
I feel like if I get stuck outside and then I got to go stand around with people in polite company, I'm going to change my underwear.
What do you do with the underwear you swap?
I got a baggie.
Out? You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would just toss them.
I always keep an extra shirt. I always keep an extra shirt in my truck.
You do?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
God, I got to get up to speed on this stuff. Spare clothes? Yeah. Are you a spare clothes guy?
I have not been a spare clothes guy. But I'm
extra
also...
shirt and deodorant. That's always in my
deodorant
truck.
In the car, yeah.
I don't like... I can't wipes. Stand... Yeah. If I go... Like, if I'm sweating outside and I go in and stand in an air-conditioned place, I just feel so gross with those underwear on. Yes. And they start to get cold and clammy around you. Yeah.
But again, that was my only issue. I'm like I was telling Sean, like, even at my house, outside of folding clothes, I wouldn't just say, you know what? I'm going to set my underwear right here on the table.
On the table.
Right. It's not like I consciously did it. You leave stuff places. Do you find your keys every time you leave your keys somewhere?
No, I do not.
No, right. So it's just
keys,
it was in my hands.
Pens and underwear.
I was shuffling things around and I set them down as I was trying to look for something in my bag and I forgot about it.
Would you like to ask John about your new friend over at the Chipotle?
Oh, yeah. So when I bloodied my face the other day.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
Chipotle, as one does.
Yeah. And, you know, I walked in and I'm like, these guys are going to going to think that I'm just somebody that's crazy or on drugs or something. The cashier was a young Hispanic lady, and I bring it up that she was Hispanic because I felt comforted by her accent. Because she was like acting very nurturing towards me and concerned and everything. But it was one of those things where I was wondering, like, I was like, is it kind of racist that I feel good that she's got an Hispanic?
No, it's very grandmotherly. Just, almost,
I guess, yeah.
Even though they're young.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no, I like that. I think I'm down with that.
Yeah. I felt jealous for you and how many times that you were nurtured by it. I called up my mom. I was like, thanks, gringo. Thanks for never properly comforting me when I was growing
it
up.
It is soothing. Like in, I guess it is it in. One of the cartoon shows, Family Guy. Yeah. Oh no!
There's a gentleness. You know what it is? No. Yeah, there's something you can do with the Spanish language where, like, it can express an empathy that I don't know if we're capable.
They could be
of
cursing
English.
You out.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And it's like, oh no.
Okay.
Have you been back?
So it's more of a linguistic thing than my racism. Okay. Yeah.
Was she speaking in Spanish? Wait, what happened? Was she speaking in Spanish?
She,
no,
but she had an accent. She had an accent. All right. Yeah.
I was like, I didn't know you were fluent in Spanish.
Like in Spanish, you can say, oh, pobre.
I still
and
think
it sounds and it sounds nurturing, but if you say the same word in English, it sounds like they're being a jerk.
Like you're passive aggressive. You like, thing. Oh, poor baby. Yeah. Bless your heart.
I'd still like to know if you share the same opinion about her if she hadn't been walking over with a burrito bowl.
She, hey, she was just charging me for the burrito. She didn't. She was not my burrito builder.
The nurturing was free.
Yes.
Come for the nurturing, stay for the burrito bowl, as they say. That's a big Chipotle ad. Have you been back to
I have. She wasn't there. I don't remember what she looks like. I think I was concussed. I was.
Are we sure that this was a real person?
Yeah, no. This,
like, was this just a figment of your imagination?
Oh, your brony Soprano was on Prozac. And he's got
your
vision.
Brain just knew that you needed.
The dream
you needed
sequence is always the worst episode.
A Latin person to calm your nerves at that point and offer you support, and you conjured her up.
I wonder if the mescaline had something to do with that too. It seems to be pretty common.
Oh, my God. All right. Still no playoff roster.
I'm looking.
They're holding true to this 10 o'clock, aren't they?
Yeah, they're taking it right down to the wire.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll let you guys take a bite at that apple, the Astros playoff roster. But the big news, if you missed it and you're just tuning in, Yordan Alvarez in the lineup, batting second, and DHing. And I would guess that DH is going to be where he's at for the foreseeable future.
Yes.
I don't see him running around in left field, but who knows? We'll see. But for today, he is DH, Mauricio Dubon, in left field. All right, gentlemen, the floor is yours. Seth, antibodies to you.
Antibodies, mi abuela.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.